Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Chronic Fatigue and Burnout Recovery Podcast. Today, I wanted to talk a little bit about pacing, specifically why pacing matters, why it is important in your chronic fatigue journey or chronic illness journey, and I guess also just talking about some of the patterns that I'm seeing with clients as they're working on their pacing, things we do with our clients to help them pace better, and just some overall considerations when it comes to optimizing your pacing, especially if you're a woman and you have a menstrual cycle. Sometimes we need to adjust our pacing around our cycle as well. So this is just a general discussion on pacing. And even if you feel like you already know about pacing, you already understand pacing, there might be some things that I share with you today that just maybe are or could create some little small changes in your daily routine that can really make a difference. Now, I am a firm believer that pacing matters. We cannot out supplement, we cannot out meditate, we cannot outdo the need for pacing in any way. We need to make sure that we're pacing properly. So maybe a good place to start is to just talk about what pacing is exactly. And pacing ultimately refers to managing one's time and energy, whether that's physical, mental, or emotional energy, throughout the day, using periods of activity and periods of rest. And contrary to what a lot of people think, pacing isn't only a concept for people with chronic illness. All human beings need to pace. I'm sure you know healthy, in air quotes, individuals in your life who are constantly burning the candle at both ends. They maybe have periods of exhaustion or periods of just needing to sleep more on the weekend, or they've got like some little health niggles. They're not necessarily chronically unwell. They're still quite functional in their lives. But actually, when you take a step back and you look, there are these boom and bust patterns that are appearing for them. And ultimately, all humans, if they want to be healthy and thrive, they need to pace. Because everything in life has a rhythm. We've got night and dark, periods of more daytime activity and then periods of more rest at night. We've got seasons. Summer, when people are more out and about, and then winter, when people retreat into their homes a little bit more. Life has a rhythm. Our nervous system moves through cycles of expansion and contraction every day. We're maybe expanding into joy or expanding into rest, or we're contracting into periods of activation or periods of stress. And then we overcome those stresses and then we move back into more of a state of regulation again. And really in life as a whole, we've become disconnected from this rhythm. And people with chronic illness specifically are more prone to getting stuck. So they become stuck, very stuck on or very stuck off. And that interferes with the ability to pace. But even though everybody needs to pace, whether you're a healthy person or someone with a chronic illness, people with chronic illness just need to pace within a narrower range, within a narrower window of tolerance, because they've lost their stress resilience. Now, I have not spoken to one client who would tell me that, their life was perfect before they became unwell. Yes, there may be physical factors involved, but for most people, there's been a buildup of chronic stress, a buildup of burning the candle at both ends. In some cases, even if there were lots of positive things in their life, they might have been, having lots of fun and traveling lots and doing loads of exercise, but maybe, dieting too hard or whatever it might be. There's always a buildup of ongoing stress, which wears the body down over time, and therefore, our bodies want to keep going. Our bodies want to survive. So we create these accommodations to keep on going. But over time, our ability to tolerate stress is becoming narrower and narrower and narrower. And then when we reach a state of chronic illness, it's really narrow that even small stresses can feel really, really big. And that's why we need to be pacing so that we're not overstressing our body beyond our capacity, but we're helping to restore the rhythm of periods of activity, periods of rest, periods of activity, periods of rest throughout the day. And so when we pace poorly, what usually happens is we experience symptoms, whether that's a headache or more brain fog or more fatigue. Over time, maybe, you know, on day one of the week, you're a little bit more tired, a little bit more brain foggy, a little bit more headachey, but that could build up across several days. And then towards the end of the week, you have a bigger crash. And I know this was the pattern for me in my own journey. I was almost in a weekly pattern of this like build up due to poor pacing, then a crash. Then I would spend a day or two or three or four kind of getting back to a sense of normality again. And then the whole cycle would repeat itself. And it's not necessarily because one day was a problem, but it was because of poor pacing across several days would lead to a bigger crash. But then in the context of a month, those bigger crashes on a weekly basis can lead to even bigger crashes on a monthly basis. And often for women, this shows up around the menstrual cycle, the instability of our hormones changing. So our hormones going from like higher levels of estrogen and progesterone to then the very lowest levels of estrogen and progesterone really can amplify what is already there. And if we're already on our way towards an energy dip or a crash, that sudden change in the hormonal landscape can be a really big trigger for a lot of people to feel very awful around their menstrual cycle or have, you know, big crashes around their menstrual cycle. You know, very often people find crashes exhausting. I was speaking to a client, I think it was last week, who'd had a cyclical crash around her menstrual cycle, and she said, "I feel so exhausted from the crash." So it's not only the actual experience of the crash which creates some of the issues, but then we have to spend so much time getting back on our feet again. And every one of these setbacks where we could be having more stability and consistency is impacting our progress on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. So although these crashes and setbacks are challenging, we mustn't beat ourselves up about them. We must remember that they are feedback. It's feedback telling us that something needs to be addressed. There might be a pattern of boom and bust that is repeating itself. And if you haven't already listened to episode 103, in episode 103, I talk about all the different things that are keeping us in these patterns of boom and bust, you know, everything from just, you know, our coping mechanisms, people pleasing, states in the nervous system. There's lots of different things I cover in that episode. So if you are finding yourself in repeated cycles of energy crashes due to poor pacing, then you might want to listen to that episode on boom and bust for a little bit more awareness and a little bit more insight. But then what is the flip side? If we are pacing well, how does that benefit us? Well, if we pace better on a daily basis, we have less daily dips. And I almost like to think of this as a bank account. We're not overspending on one day. So we've got a little bit of savings that we take through into the next day. And if we're also not overspending on that day, we've got a little bit more savings we take through into the next day. And if we're having less daily dips, we're probably not going to be having weekly dips or any major weekly dips. Obviously, it's normal to feel a little bit up and down across the week for even a normal person. And then if we're having less daily and weekly dips, we're probably going to have less monthly dips. And if you're a woman, you're probably going to find that you're a bit more stable around your menstrual cycle. One of the things I really get clients to do is pull back a lot around the menstrual cycle. So 3 days before, 3 days afterwards, you can really discipline yourself to do a lot of resting around that time. Then we create even more stability and more capacity for the month ahead. And it's through doing this with consistency And obviously doing all the other things that you know you need to be doing physically to support yourself and the nervous system things you need to be doing to support yourself, doing all of those things and the proper pacing is what ultimately leads us to feeling more and more well. However, on that note, I think it's really important to acknowledge that perfect pacing is not possible because we are human beings living a life. Many of my clients may have children. They may still be trying to work so that they can earn some income to support their healing. They may have elderly parents. They may be going through changes in their relationships. There can be so many different things that are happening that makes perfect pacing impossible. But we just have to do the best we can. And if we're really not able to pace properly, doing the best we can, that's when we have to take a real honest reflection at what's going on with our life and make a plan so that we can pace better. Whether that's, you know, getting a relative or a friend or someone to come in and look after the kids, or whether that is reducing hours at work or having some conversations about how you manage your work schedule. There's lots of different variables, lots of different situations that people are in. But if we're not able to master pacing, we're not going to get better. So we really have to be flexible and curious about what we can change and how we can make this work for us. The one sort of area where I would say we do want to have more precision is people who have a lot of cognitive issues, a lot of neuroinflammation and a lot of brain-related issues. People who have brain-related issues really, really, really need to pace as precisely as they possibly can. We know the pacing can't be perfect, but we want to. I really do encourage my clients with a lot of brain-related symptoms to pace as perfectly as they can, obviously without creating any shame or, you know, beating themselves up when they can't. And then kind of how you would know if you're in this category is if you really start to get cognitive symptoms very strongly when you reach a point of fatigue. So that could be like, I've had clients who will, you know, really start slurring their words, or they start getting very dizzy. They may, you know, really have become, find out that they have, you know, very bad brain fog, those types of things. So if there's any kind of like cognitive symptoms which are coming in when you reach the point that you've gone too far, you need to make sure that you stop before you go that far. And in my own journey, brain fog is one of probably the worst symptoms I would get. And it's kind of building that attunement so that you become really sensitive to, like, as soon as you notice that shift, it's like, right, it's time to stop. And depending on the person, they may have a little bit more flexibility. You may know your own flexibility. Okay, when I feel like that, I've probably got 10 more minutes. So I know when I feel a certain way, I need to wind down whatever I'm doing. And as I said, it might not necessarily be perfect for you, but getting it as perfect as you can will really be a very helpful thing, especially if you have brain-related issues. So here are some of the things that we do with our clients. We usually get our clients, if they're willing and they have the capacity to do it, to write down everything that they're doing in a day and then how it's making them feel, usually just scoring this, you know, with a rating scale of 1 to 10. And what I'll share is when we get our clients to do this, one of the things we notice is that most of them are doing too much for too long, and they're not resting appropriately. So they might be, you know, doing little bits and bobs for like 2 hours or 3 hours in some cases, and then they'll take like an hour long rest. And what seems to be working better for our clients is to do shorter periods of activity with shorter periods of rest. So instead of doing something for 3 hours and then resting for an hour, to do something for half an hour and rest for 15 minutes. or to do something for an hour and then rest for half an hour. Obviously, you know, that kind of balance is going to vary depending on the person and their state of health, but most people just go on for too long and then they rest when it's too late. So kind of resting earlier and not doing as much, but then maybe having shorter rest intervals so that you feel that you can then feel rested and then get up and then maybe continue to do whatever you need to do in your day. And the reason why we like to get clients to write down everything they're doing and then score it is because so many people are in denial about the fact that they're doing too much. And sometimes we need that accountability to write it all down, see it on paper, talk it through with a second set of eyes, i.e. a practitioner, to really see what we're doing. And sometimes people are really frustrated because they're not getting better or they say things aren't working. And it can really just be as simple as this. They're just in denial about how well they're pacing. And then that's something that we need to confront and deal with. Another thing that can also go wrong is that when people are resting, they're not necessarily resting effectively. And I'm going to do a separate episode on this, so I won't go into it in too much detail, but rest needs to feel restful. So if you're lying down and you're watching some TV, but your heart is racing and you're eating some food, which is actually really stressful for your system, even though you're maybe not physically active, or maybe you're scrolling through your phone and you're getting emotional, you're looking at other people's recovery stories and feeling sorry for yourself, you know, all of these things are not restful to the body. So we know we're resting effectively when we feel that sense of rest in the body, which from a somatic perspective might feel like there's more openness, there's more space, there's a sense of calm, there's a sense of broadening, there's a sense of heaviness, there's a sense of widening. You know, it shouldn't feel like there are, like, you know, that you're full of like prickles and fireworks and pulsing and tension and vibrating. Those are not sensations of rest. So we really want to feel like calm, smooth, settled, really kind of peaceful when we're resting. And if you're struggling to get into a rested state, there can be lots of reasons for that, which I'll talk about in the next episode. But joining the Nurturing Resilience subscription could be something that would really help you. You can find out more about that on my website. Just go to annamarsh.co.uk/nurturing-resistance. Nurturing resilience. You can join for £39. It's a real low cost, low risk way to start supporting yourself to rest better and to support your nervous system. And you can cancel at any time. So that's just a little digression from what we were talking about. But the other thing which I've already mentioned, which really helps our clients, is if you're a woman, to pace differently around your menstrual cycle. And what we usually recommend is to really pull back on your baseline activity 3 days before your cycle starts, and then the first 3 days of your cycle or the heaviest days of your bleed. So this is something that I even do now is, obviously, I go to the gym, I run, I do a lot of physical activity, but usually a couple of days before my cycle and the first three days of my cycle, I just strip it right back and I just do walking. And that really makes a difference to how I feel on a monthly basis. And although it's not directly related to pacing per se, blood sugar control, I probably sound like a broken record here, but blood sugar control can and does make a really big difference. Because if your blood sugar is destabilized when you're trying to rest, that can be a problem for accessing proper rest. And another pattern that's being picked up with some of our clients is they don't have set times for their meals. Very often they're going for too long before they're eating anything, which is putting additional stress on their system, and they're a bit more prone to hypoglycemia. So having set meal times, which you eat at the same time each day, your body then learns when to expect food. So whether that's like, I'm going to have my breakfast at 9, my lunch at 1, and my dinner at 6, sticking to that the same time each day and then planning your activities around your meal times can be another really, really helpful tool for stabilizing the system, but also just making the whole pacing thing a lot more effective. There are some apps that can help with pacing. A lot of my clients will either use the Visible app or even just use a Garmin body battery, both of which I've spoken about on the show previously. You can listen to episode 86, which is my interview with Harry Leeming, who is the founder of Visible. And we talk about all the technology, but also just to say that clients find it particularly helpful. Garmin has the body battery feature, which I think I talk about in episode 85, which is what I used in my recovery. And that really helped me to connect with the need to rest and resting better, because there was some external data which was influencing that. And then there are also programs committed to pacing. So I interview Emily Fraser, who is the Spoonie mentor, in episode 55. And she has a 12-week program, which is specifically designed to help to teach people to pace. So if pacing is something that you're really struggling with, you know, we help our clients with pacing alongside everything else we're doing in our 6-month program. But you might just want a program which is specific for pacing, and the Spoonie Mentor might be a good option for you. And so the final thing I want to say is that it does get easier. And sometimes people will ask me, like, do I have to pace forever? And remember that pacing is a human need. If you want to be a healthy human and thrive lifelong, you want to pace. You want to have periods of activity and periods of rest in your life, and you want to avoid the boom and bust cycle. But it can be less precise as you grow your capacity and as you grow your stress resilience. So as you become more and more well, obviously your ability to do stuff becomes greater, and you need less rest off the back of that. So you can do more and rest less. That balance between work and rest will change over time. But there's also a bit more flexibility in the system, which means even if you overdo things, the crashes, the setbacks, the flares are not as bad, and they're more tolerable. You can do more even when you are experiencing a setback. But there's also a little bit more flexibility. If you overdo things and you rest appropriately, you can kind of get back on track a little bit quicker. But sometimes we can even get complacent as our capacity grows, and that can be a stumbling block which keeps us from getting to the next level. So if that's kind of where you are at the moment, you're sort of at a good level, but you can't get past it, maybe there's an opportunity here just to think about, well, maybe have you got a little bit complacent with the need to pace, and a little bit more discipline and precision and refinement could be the thing that you need to get you further along in your journey. Because remember, the more good days we have, the more good days we have. And the pacing is what ensures the good days. So think of it as like a snowball effect. If you go for a week without any crashes or flares, and then another week and another week and another week, your body is building more and more resilience all the time. So I hope that has been helpful for you to listen to today. Maybe some ideas and insights and better understanding about how you can pace better. As always, if you have enjoyed listening to the podcast, this episode, or any of the other ones, please leave us a review on Spotify or iTunes. The reviews just help to improve the podcast rankings. It means other people find the information that can really be life-changing in some cases. So if you'd like to pay this gift forward to the rest of the community and you haven't already left a review, do that now. And I will see you in the next episode, where we'll talk about how to rest better.